We're in lesson 25 in the book of Ephesians, and let's start at verse 1, chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation of grace of God which is given me to you, or how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of grace, and to make all men's unsearchable riches in Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Christ Jesus. Father, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 6, last lesson, we looked at the fact that we're fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. What was those last three words? By the gospel. You got to understand, it's by Paul's gospels that we're made that way, because in times past, us being Gentiles, we wasn't fellow heirs. We wasn't partakers of the same body. We had a distinction between us. But today, we thank God through Jesus Christ, there's no distinction, and he's building a body today. Verse 7, whereof, and he's talking about the gospel in verse 6. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, the gift of the grace of God is the ministry that he has in verse 8. See, is this grace given? You see that? The grace in verse 8 and the gift of the grace of God in verse 7 both refer to the ministry. And that's what was given to Paul, is a ministry. Hold your finger there and look at chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. But until every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of what? Christ. Of Christ. The gift and the grace involves here has to do with the ministry that Apostle Paul is carrying on. In other words, he did not deserve to have that position of proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ, but God gave him as a gift, and that gift is of grace. I don't know if anybody would want to desire that, what was given to Paul, you know, as far as, hey, I want to do what Paul is doing, you know, because you know what Paul went through, it wasn't very pleasant, was it? It's not very pleasant for many of us when we stand for truth and have our loved ones to come at you and say, you're crazy. You know, you got to do this, this, this for salvation. You're like, no, 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 no. This is what God says. He died for you, was buried, and rose again. You trust that alone. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, notice again, verse 9. Go back a book. Notice again, verse 9, the same way this word grace is used. And you need to notice that there's times when Paul's epistles, when he talks about the grace or this grace, it's terms that describes the ministry that Christ has given him. That special ministry. Wasn't he a special apostle? Yes, he was. Verse 9, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the who? Circumcision. Now, that grace that perceived has to do with the ministry that they got. He is not saying that they understood all the messages of grace or the context of the doctrines of grace or the dispensation of grace that God communicated through Paul, but they saw that ministry that was given unto them. That's why they was commended to the Gentiles ministry and to Paul. And that's a very, very important distinction, isn't it? That Paul would go to the heathen and Peter, James, and John would go to the who? The circumcision. Now, if you know your Bible, you understand that when they had that meeting over here in Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2, its connection with that, that when they decided, when they shook hands and made that official, if you will, Peter, James, and John was committed to that circumcision that was in that little flock. And they understood that outside of that little flock, until that point, everybody else is called a heathen. So whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you're a heathen in their eyes. So when Paul went out, when he says, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, he does lift up that position, doesn't he? But God, but you ever notice when we looked at other things, those Gentiles are connecting with those lost Jews. Because everybody's down here on the bottom nowadays. There ain't nobody up here as elevated like they was in time past. So go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. God's effectual power gave Paul the ministry. You see that? His power gave Paul the ministry. And to me, who am less than least of all the saints. Have you ever wondered about whether or not you're too frail or too feeble or insignificant to be used in God's work for the ministry? You ever think about that? You ever think sometimes you sit there and say, who am I to do this in the ministry? Or who am I? You know, that's that human viewpoint and that doubt, and Satan's feeding it, of course. But you can just say, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But look what Paul said about himself. Who am less than least of all the saints. Now, as unworthy as you might think that you are, you just put yourself on the list, and Paul put himself right under you. You see that? That's something, isn't it? You know what that is? That's when you're willing to pay the price, as Paul was willing to pay the price, you will realize what capacity and capability you have in service. Each one of us in here today has a ability or capability or capacity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a measure of faith in us. And each one of us has a potential to go much further than that. But you know something? I am very thankful that you are here today. I'm very thankful that, you know, I'd rather have you here than anywhere else, naturally. But think about the things that you could do in the ministry here. You know, we grown as a traditional way of thinking. You put a lot on the preacher's shoulders, don't you? And the deacons and the elders and stuff like that. And you're like, I just show up and let them do the work. Well, if you know this grace message, you're part of the labor of the work. The work is already here. The work is established. Now we need laborers out there, whether it's from the tracks or cleaning up or whatever the case may be. We don't have a lawn to mow. We don't have windows to wash. You know? Yeah. But if we did, hey, Leon would be the man, wouldn't he? But anyway, you know, it was once said, the world is yet to see what God will do with a man completely dedicated to him. You ever think about that? You're just waiting on that man to be, you know, that completely dedicated him, what God will do. But, you know, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was dedicated, wasn't he? Always he was obedient to the cross. The closest man that would probably be to that would be Apostle Paul. You know, he was completely dedicated to this death. He said, I finished the course, didn't he? I ran the race. And yet Paul says that his capacity is less than your capacity. You know what that is? Humility, isn't it? Yeah, bringing yourself. We met a young man. Well, he's not so young. He's an elderly like guy, and we was talking about some things. He knows who he is in the world, and knows who he is in Christ, and he brought himself to humility. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's another passage like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is what? With me. And that demonstrates to you and I that Paul isn't exalting himself in his ministry when he talks about that special, unique position that he has. Each one of us, once again, knows what the grace of God is, or should know. Each one of us should know dispensational truths that we don't exalt ourselves, do we? We exalt the Word of God through the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people, you know, you may run across when you mention, well, Paul said this and Paul said that. What do they look at you and say? You worship Paul, you know? What do you? And it's like, no, we don't worship Paul. There's two people I told you to follow them in the Word of God. One of them was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was talking to the 12, said, drop your nets and follow me. The other one was God, Lord Jesus Christ, through Paul, says, be ye followers of me as I follow who? Christ. We talk about patterns. You're in the upholstery business. You got a pattern. You know, you got a pattern. Sometimes you got a pattern in your mind how you want things designed. Or like you said, you got a book. You got me a catalog. They got a pattern. Said, pick it out. I do it. You know, we have a pattern for today to follow. And God exalted Apostle Paul. You know, another comparison passage is, we don't turn there, but is in Numbers chapter 12 with Moses. Moses was one of the meekest men on the face of the earth. But it isn't Moses wasn't the issue here. Moses personally was a meek man. But the ministry that God gave him is the same that he gave to Paul. When you think about what God gave these men to exalt who God was, it will make you meek and mild. It won't make you puff up and say, look who I am. You know, it's easy to put yourself in positions that say, you know something, I am this and I am that. And we talked about just briefly before we started service about people that deny God and all that stuff. And what they do, they just lift themselves up. And apostasy, the end of all apostasy is idol worship. And if you watch that, when you get to depart from the faith and get away, further away from the Word of God, who you are in Christ, you begin to put yourself on a pedestal. I can't help to bring this up about creation and consciences. God has put a conscience in every one of us when we're born. And it's like a homing beacon. And it's going off. And it's searching for God. And God is searching for you. And, you know, it's there, whether you like it or not. And you have a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. And, I thought about the idol worship and stuff and lifting yourself up and not being humiliated and in meekness. And in the state of Ohio, you know how many mounds and serpent mounds and fort ancients and temples that we have here? I don't know if you ever thought about that. You ever heard of that serpent mound? It's a serpent mound down in Newark area, I think Newark. And it's shaped like a snake. And it's got something in its mouth, and it's actually the sun. Well, if you look at the constellations up there, there's a snake up there, a dragon and stuff. You know what county that's in? It's in Adams County. And you think, a preacher in 1903 said, hey, this is where the Garden of Eden is because of serpent mound, and he's got an apple in his mouth, and you know, so the Garden of Eden must be here. And I'm thinking, nah, that's not right, but Adams County, you got a snake. But I'm thinking of all these mounds, and they got Fort Ancient down there next, like you're going to Wilmington. And they got this big Fort Ancient up there, and it's supposed to have been there like 5,000 years. And the way it's positioned, they worship the moon. And the moon every so often was doing this. And every 18 and a half years, that moon lines up to line right there where they're at. And that's where the big worship centers was. And you think about all this idol worshiping stuff. I don't want to get off on a message, but that's what it ends to. They're worshiping the creature more than what? The creator. But you think about the same. As we compare this before in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And these are the riches of Christ that are what? Unsearchable. You couldn't find them before in Ephesians chapter 3. Remember that verse we looked at last lesson, John chapter 5, verse 9? When John says to the people, well, go to John chapter 5, verse 39. Yeah, search the scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, that they... And chapter 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which what? Testify me. John says to the people in the prophetic program that they are to search the scriptures, and they are they which testify of me. They could find out a comparison of what Christ was telling them in the scriptures, couldn't they? That's what it's saying. They could search the scriptures to tell if that was Jesus Christ or not. But Paul's gospel could not be found by searching the scriptures. We read there on the onslaught that it was hidden who? God. It's unsearchable riches of Christ. And you cannot find the tracks or trace them in times past. I know for a fact many people try. I know for a fact that people says, well, this message, that Paul's message was hid back here in Abraham's time, the Old Testament, but they didn't know it. Well, what we find out, that was hidden who? God. God himself, before the world began, before this prophetic program was put in place, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, kept secret in himself and to form the body of Christ over here. And you can't find that through the scriptures. And there's a reason for that, aren't they? Well, how do you know? Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, if the princes of this world had known what? What the mystery program was going to be accomplished about the heavenly program in Christ Jesus, if they had known, they would have not what? Man, you got to get that down. You know, that right there scares me when these people out here saying all the Bible's for you. Or excuse me, all the Bible's to you. Now, is all the Bible for you? Yes. But all of it's to you? No, it can't be all to you. Do you still sacrifice? You eat pork? You like bacon? I like sausage? You know, all that stuff. Do you still, you know, go to temple worships and all that stuff like that? Many people do, don't they? Do you still build arks? Some people do. You know, there's all kinds of things that people pick and choose because they don't know the Word of God rightly divided. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 says, the unsearchable riches, the wealth that is in Christ Jesus. And he said that is, he preached that among the who? Gentiles, the saints, the Gentiles. In Colossians chapter 1... there's a wonderful verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. You keep your finger in Ephesians chapter 3, because Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 talks about the saints. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Christ among the Gentiles is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And that's wonderful, because you know why? You know what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, 12 says, don't you? Say yes, Edward. It says, wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, which were called uncircumcision, by that is called the uncircumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time... ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, how wonderful was that? And you know what? I guarantee you, most of us sitting here today have never saw that verse when we was growing up in a Sunday school class. They didn't say, hey, little Eddie, that's who you are. In times past, your conversations was this, this, this. They didn't say that to me. You know? And then as you get older, think, wait a minute now. I was that way. And there's still people that way, aren't they? And we need to show people there was a distinction in time past, but now there isn't. Thanks for the cross, amen? God wants the saints to know how wealthy they are and who. Man, we're wealthy. And I know some of us want to cash that in right now. But love to cash it in, you know, especially with our children. Like, hey, they're pulling in. Like, no, you might get inheritance. But, hey, we have an inheritance. We have fellow heirs. We're partakers of Jesus Christ in the same body. We're rich, man. We're rich. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Does this seem like I'm going fast? Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you. Sometimes, you know, I want to slow down. I'm like, you know, I need to savor the moment, you know? Can let these words sink down. I'm like, man. This is exciting. I need to be reminded of this daily because my wife reminds me of this daily. You know, so I need to remind myself daily about these verses. You know, about how rich I am. And it's not about working and killing yourself for to go 6 foot under. You know, it's about the ministry. It's about who. Let me back up for a minute. You know the work's already established, don't you? The work of men. So we don't have to start a work. It's already here. So when we labor and we work and we want to get part of that, that's who we are. That's our love for this message and love for the gospel. And sometimes, you know what? It takes all of us. Sometimes it's just a handful of us. But when you participate and know who you are in Christ, and you know, when you talk to people out there, and you get them grounded in the Word of God, and they start trusting you, not so much you, start trusting the Word of God, you know what? They'll want what you want. That's exciting, isn't it? And they build on your ministry. So you have a ministry, we all do. Where did I say to go? Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. How be it then? Before we go out, when you think about the ministry that we have, you don't want to beat people up. You don't want to beat them over the head constantly. You know, you've been beat up enough through religious systems. You really have. Now the world's going to beat you up no matter what. Work, you know, play, rest, whatever you do, you're beaten up. And you know, and you don't want to browbeat people, and you don't want to push them down. And when you can make them wealthy in Christ through these words. With me? You know, there's something about the grace life that we portray in this message. And, you know, we know who we are. We got a gospel. We got a Bible. We got a Savior. We got a message. But this grace life, once you understand that grace life working in you is working effectually, if you believe it, it's totally different than a lot of other people will preach. That's why we don't beat yourself up. And we don't, you know, does it discourage me sometimes we don't do what we do? Yeah. I mean, that's just me in the flesh, and I can get in the flesh. But you know something? Grace has got to work. That word's got to work in you, and you grab a hold of it. And I know the fact that grace, everybody can understand the message of grace or gets grace. But very few of that grace message get them. And once that message gets them and you got something and it takes root, you're talking about planting and it takes root. It's exciting to see that plant come up, isn't it? So those roots taking growth and growing in the nurture of God's grace and His grace life. How be it, verse 8, then when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you. You know what he's saying there? You guys got saved by grace. So what are you going back into weak and beggar elements for? You know what they are, don't you? The law system. Yeah, the religious system, law system. What are you doing that for? That law is what?
Schoolmaster.
Weak. It's weak. And it cannot give you any strength to please God. There's a whole civilization down here not far from us that they, believe it or not, they're meek people. But you know what system they're under?
A law
system. And if you don't hem yourself this way, or if you don't look this way, or if you do this, they will browbeat you. And they're under a law system, and they do it for works to continue the grace in God, and that's wrong. He calls it beggarly. You know what a beggar is? Beggar is? We see them all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
Are they rich? Some of them, yeah. Some of them change clothes and drives a Ferrari, you know. But seriously, though, if you think about it, are they really rich if they're begging?
No.
Guys, I hope we never have to come to that time. You know, it's sad to think that somebody has to beg to get something. But think about this. You're talking, when you take people's wealth, when you put them on their performance system and beat them down, they are poverty stricken people. This is what God says. Why ye turn back into weakened beggar elements? You're taking them back into poverty. If I'm pronouncing that right.
Poverty,
thank you. You know, they don't want to go back. They want to come out of that, don't they? We came out of that thinking we was rich, and under the law system. And the law says, no, you pay this. You know, you think about Israel's taxation program, the tithing. You know, people says, oh, 10%. I said, no, it's a lot more than that. You know, 10% went to the Levitical priesthood. Then 10% went to the 10% went to the feast days. Israel loved to party back then, you know. They had to pay for it. That's 20%. Then 3 3/3 went to the welfare system, widows and orphans. Then if you didn't pay that every year, you got taxed 5% more. So that's 28%, almost 30% that they had to tax. And then if you didn't have the money and you ushered your goats and stuff to be in there sold, and if you wanted your goats back, you paid 30%. Does that sound familiar with our taxation service today? Yeah, seriously. It's a form of taxation. But anyway, that's going back under a system and saying, whoa, that took from me. And you can't make anybody healthy when you take money or wealth away from people, can you? We know that. Paul says not to have dominion over your faith, but to be what? That's a part of our ministry. We want to be helpers of your joy. And when you show people God's grace and how wealthy they are in Christ, then God's grace will take over and it will do the job. Now, it may take a little while because we got a lot of baggage, don't we? Sometimes we come, you know, we're carrying a lot of baggage from, you know, times past around and like, man, I just don't want to give this up. You know, I've been carrying it so long. You know, it's a bondage. But when you let that go and let Christ in you do it, it's like, free at last. You know, you're ready to do something. Most of us are. Praise God, hallelujah. But grace would take over. Godliness with contentment is what?
Great
gain. Are you just content to let God's grace do the work, though? You know, we are quick to say, sure we are. But when our reputation gets on the line and our desires gets on the line, we turn around sometimes, don't we? Like, I got to defend myself and all this stuff, and you don't have to do that. When we're talking about what we want done, and you know what we need to do, you know, I have to be honest with you. I think there's sometimes I want us to do a lot of things, you know, whether it's, you know, on radio or TV or church buildings or whatever the case may be. But I have to look at some of us and say, you know something, guys? We're just not there. You know, so what I got to do? I got to be content, don't I? I got to be thankful that you're here. And praise God we got a lighted building, air condition, and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So, you know, do I give up the hope? No. But, you know, we go together, don't we? You know, some people says you got to lead and they'll follow, you know, and all this stuff. I said, yeah. I said, but, you know, sometimes they won't budge. What do? Dynamite them out of the seats? No, you can't do that. You got to let the Word of God work in them. And that's that grace life I was sharing with you. You want to do it because God and you want to do it. You know what I mean? We don't want to do it because we have to do it. You know, we start pushing and shoving and stealing folks' riches, but they want to be rich in Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. And to me, who am least than, I keep saying that, least. It's less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things. Now, notice the fellowship of the mystery has been hid in who? From the beginning of the world, okay? And that's another verse to demonstrate the mystery has not been made known. And it's and it don't say it was hidden in scriptures like we said a while ago. It was hidden in who? God. And it wasn't partially revealed. It was completely hidden. And we'll pick up there next week. Father, once again, thank you for the day you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.